This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome in WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin here. Andy Hart alongside. We'll be talking with Alex Cora in about a half an hour here. Adam Schefter will call the show at quarter of four. And we'll talk to you at 617-779-7937. How you doing, Andy?
Tremendous. Energetic. I'm ready.
Good.
It's like a big Wednesday show.
Does seem like
I'm
a big
excited.
Wednesday show. We got a nice mix of Patriots and Celtics today.
Yeah.
Along with Cora, who we'll talk Red Sox with. It seems kind of seems like an exit interview, you know, almost. Not that he's getting fired or anything, but like probably the last time we're going to see him here.
Before the playoffs.
Right, before the playoffs start.
If you left that off that sentence.
Which the
they're
Red
not
Sox
dead yet.
Totally are going to be a part of.
Wait, hey.
What?
They're winning.
What? Winning what?
They're winning.
Winning what?
Winning
three games in a row, four in a row. That's very
this
nice.
May have
very,
been,
very timely for them to
yeah,
be
Yeah, may have been
this.
More helpful a week or two ago, but... You know, they're staying alive. They're staying afloat. They're in quicksand, and yet they are staying afloat.
What's the magic number? Do you remember in, like, the 90s, it was all about magic numbers?
Yes.
Right? The magic number is one, and that was to, like, clinch, but this is to get knocked out.
I think if the Royals win two more games, the Sox are done.
Well, that
is it even that many?
Yet.
Right. Is it that many even? I think it's...
So I think if the Royals only win, because I saw that tweet where it's like, the Royals have to do this, and the Mariners do this. I think if the Royals go 1-4, 1-5, whatever it is the rest of the way, and the Sox win out, the Sox will make it.
Oh, the Steve Peralt updated...
Right. But I think if the Royals win two games, it's over.
There's four games left. So don't the Royals just have to win one if they're 3.5 back?
I was told that would be if the Red... I think that would be if the Red Sox won out, they would have to only win one more.
I see.
But okay. If the Red Sox lose, I think the Royals only have to win one more.
All right, fine. Fair enough. Either
it's
way,
the worst
it's very
math radio show I've
it's
ever
pretty
been
bad
to.
Already. It's a good way to start. But yeah, that's what we'll be talking about. Math with Alex Cora at 2:30 and looking ahead to next season and the offseason and sort of everything else. A recap of this season. It wasn't all bad. We'll get that from the manager at 2:30 today. In the meantime, that was Gerard Mayo, who spoke to the media today at a nice press conference and got me thinking, and you too, Andy, about what to expect this weekend. Mm. We're expecting Jacoby Brissett. We know that, and he just reaffirmed it there. Also said they're not going to be adding any other veteran quarterbacks. So sorry, anybody who really wants to keep Drake May in the bubble wrap and also not go to Joe Milton either. They're not doing that. It's been an unpredictable first 3 weeks of the NFL, right? I mean, we've seen upsets all 3 weeks in various conferences, divisions, teams losing games that you just absolutely had no idea that they'd be capable of losing. What do you expect this weekend? What are your expectations for a good showing for the Patriots? What would even make a good showing?
I think good showing is cover. It's 10, 10.5, 9.5, whatever you are in there. If you keep it within that just over kind of a one-score game, I think that is a very good showing. Now, I don't know that I expect that. The 49ers are banged up. I'm going to be interested to see what their injury report looks like today. We know Christian McCaffrey isn't playing, and he's
right.
Halfway around the world doing shady stuff with German doctors to get back out there. But
What exactly are they doing to him in Germany?
He's meeting a specialist. I don't know. It used to be where you went to get...
like stem cells or something? Like something it's illegal
probably
in
down
US?
That road. Because yeah. It used to be the platelet-rich plasma.
Right.
Was the thing. But that's legal here now.
Okay.
You can do that in the U.S. So he's probably, you know, I don't know, stem cells, something to get
something
his Achilles back working properly and get him back on the field for that offense. But they have a bunch of other injuries. Like, they're a bang, you know, Debo obviously is hurt.
Yep.
Purdy is banged up. I'm not sure what he'll look like on the injury report today. They have some things there, but they're obviously loaded talent-wise on both sides of the ball. They can lose, unlike the Patriots, they can lose players and kind of not miss a beat, right? You know, receiver
yeah,
Jennings
I mean,
last
they,
week.
They lost the game.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. No Debo and Ayuk's doing nothing. We're screwed, right? No, you're going to have a receiver that's going to have multiple touchdowns and 100 and whatever yards and have a huge game. So
is Kittle out, too?
Kittle's banged up.
Kittle's out.
I don't
here.
Know if he's out. He's banged up.
Okay.
So they're dealing with a lot, and that plays in the Patriots' favor. Now, is that enough in the Patriots' favor? You have to bounce back. Like, I was texting with somebody, and they were like, I was like, what's bounce back mean? Like, yeah, I want them to bounce back, mm-hmm. but they're not as talented. They could put up a better effort, bring better energy, tackle better, fix some of the things that were embarrassingly bad against the Jets, and probably lose by a worse score. Just because the Niners are a really good football team that you don't really match up great against. So for me, if you can keep it within, forget the upset. I'm not predicting an upset. I don't think they have a shot at an upset. If you can cover, keep within that, I think that's a very impressive effort. And you said we will see Jacoby Brissett start the game.
Yes.
We may also see Drake May. They've opened that tube of toothpaste, correct?
They
have. That if there's garbage time, and maybe if you don't stay within the 10.5 points, if this turns into a 2 or a 3 score game, I would have every expectation that you could see Drake May. And that would be every bit a part of the plan before he starts against the Dolphins.
Yeah, if you want, I mean, listen, if they want to get him going with garbage time, that's the best way to do it, I guess. If you're not going to start him, it's the only other thing you can really do, unless you want to. Unless Brissett's so bad in the first half, they bring him in to start the second half. Like, that could maybe happen, but
that means
I doubt
he's the starting quarterback, in my opinion. If he does that, he's the new starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, in my opinion.
Well,
that's not garbage
anyway?
Time.
Wouldn't you think he would be anyway?
No, garbage time, I think you can come back just like you did this week. We learned it with Matt.
Okay,
you can
get fair. Yeah, I see what you mean.
But if they start the half, I think the torch has been passed, mm-hmm. and that is, you will know at that point, in my mind, that he is starting against the Miami Dolphins. He is taking over the starting role, because Gerard Mayo did say, in practice, he looks good in practice. He kind of emphasized the practice part, almost to say, well, the next step is to find out, can he look good in games? That's how I read that. And that's where we get into that weird, what does Gerard Mayo really think? Is he really all in on the plan, or is this Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf's plan, and Gerard Mayo is kind of biding his time before he has a hissy fit and says, damn it, I'm the head coach and I'm playing the guy.
Yeah, I mean, that could certainly be part of it. I think that when you look at the 49ers and you look at what they are, I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team, on offense, up front on defense, I'd say, more so than in the secondary. I think that's a team you can maybe pass on if you have enough time, which often teams do not. But
what was that part? If
outside
you have
of Chevarius Ward, they don't have a great secondary. Like, it's just, it's not really like a highly decorated secondary or anything like that. If they have to point out one weakness on that team, I'd say that's probably it. Up front, offensively, very strong. Their running game's very good. They got good pass catchers. They got a good enough quarterback. They got a good tight end. Like, all that, we know that about them. That's all pretty clear. I think if there's one place you can look at and say they may be vulnerable there, it's down the field, and the Vikings took advantage of that. The Vikings took advantage of their weakness back there and were able to do long chunk plays down the field to Jefferson and whoever else. And I was thinking about the Patriots and who gives them the best chance to win, and who can throw down the field.
Throw down the field?
Yeah, which of the quarterbacks on the Patriots roster
the furthest
do you feel
Joe
best
Milton.
about throwing down the field? Maybe Milton, but
no,
in terms of the main two guys,
Drake May,
obviously, 100%. Right?
Now, I don't know if he
has
weapons.
So do we have to keep going along with this myth that Brissett gives him a better chance this weekend? Like, is that, do we still have to humor that? I don't know. It feels
to not
weird
get
to
blown
that.
Out. Yes, because I think if Drake May drops back with the intent of throwing down the field, he'll get lit up like a freaking piñata.
Maybe, but it's not talking.
That's part
about
of the problem.
It's about who has gives you a better chance to win, not who we're going to lose by less with. You know,
I know they keep saying that, but I put it through one ear and it comes out my other ear. Something
the Andy
different.
Hart translator. Yes,
I translate it into who gives us the best chance to not lose, who gives us the best chance to not get embarrassed and blown out. And the answer to that is still probably Jacoby Brissett for one more week.
Probably. The Raiders did beat the Ravens, right? The Falcons did beat the Eagles. It's not like there haven't been upsets already. And I guess with the Eagles, like, the Falcons beating them sort of made people think less of them, so maybe that's part of it, too. Like, the Niners did lose to the Vikings, but I don't think that really took a lot off of their perception and their aura of what they are.
No, it buffed up the Vikings.
It made the Vikings look good, but I think people still consider the Niners a real strong team, and I think after the Patriots win over the Bengals, there was a little bit of that lingering, and these last two games have kind of wiped it all away. It seems more likely to me that the Patriots will keep going on their trajectory and the Niners will keep going on theirs than some sort of major upset, but if there were to be an upset, if there were to be some sort of wild upset here, how would the Patriots go about doing it?
Well, I think you'd have to get turnovers, and I don't discount that. Like, Christian,
one of the only teams to not intercept a pass.
Right,
the
you're due.
There, by the way.
And Christian Gonzalez was fingertips away from maybe deflecting a pass and going 99 yards for a pick six. Right,
mm-hmm.
Like Christian Gonzalez, a good young corner. I think at some point he's going to make plays on the ball that lead to him having possession of the football. I don't think it's crazy to think that could happen. And hell, your secondary is supposed to be pretty good. Right. It hasn't really played out that way
no.
so far, but your secondary is supposed to be pretty good. You do have some pass rushers. Keon White is capable of a strip sack at any time, correct? Especially up the middle. Mm-hmm. One of those quick beat a guard, boom, you're in Purdy's face, strip sack. So turnovers, which I think this team at some point should get. I think this defense between the pass rush and a pretty good secondary should force some turnovers. Hell, even the hitting. At some point, you know, Jabril Pepper's going to pop somebody and the ball's going to pop loose like Jalen Hurts last year. They have the ability to force turnovers. So if there's going to be an upset, I think it starts with they're going to have a +2 advantage in the turnover. Probably maybe +3 if they're going to upset this team.
I don't think that's impossible.
No, I don't either.
I don't think that's impossible. What you just described, I think, is very possible.
Aren't they due?
First of all, I don't think Brock Purdy's that good. I've never really been a believer in Brock Purdy. I always thought he was kind of lousy and a big, production of what's around him, right? I mean, a product of what's around him, I should say. And what's around him now is all banged up. McCaffrey's not around him. Kittle may not be around him. Debo's not going to be around him. He's got Brandon Ayuk and a rookie running back who might be okay. I think he's a rookie or whatever he is, Mason. And that's it. I mean, that's really all you're talking about as far as the offense is concerned. That, to me, seems like a vulnerable offense. It doesn't seem like the normal 49ers, high-powered, oh, my God, they got all these different ways to beat you type of offense, which in the past, you know, Bill Belichick could scheme for a team like that. I don't know that Gerard Mayo can, and I don't know that this defense could do it. And I still think they have a very strong offensive line, so that's an important part of it, too. But if it's just Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk, I'm not really scared of that. I'm not as scared of that as I would be of the 49ers on a normal day. And so I look at that, and I think, you know, if there's an upset to be had here and what that would mean for the Patriots, first of all, it would mean 2-2, which I think would be a monumental achievement for this team after 1 month, considering what I thought was what it was going to look like, and most people did. And number two, you beat the Niners. If they go out there and beat the San Francisco 49ers, that changes the perception of the Patriots again. It does. That makes the Jets game one bad game. And that's what people haven't been calling in and saying, Andy. Have you noticed that? No one's called in and been like, yeah, don't worry about that Jets game. It's just one bad game. They'll bounce back. They'll be fine. Don't worry about it. It's just, why are you guys making such a big deal out of one bad game? In the old days, people used to do that after losses. People used to call in, and we'd be screaming and yelling about, I can't believe you lost to Matt Patricia or one of your old coordinators, whoever it was, and we'd get all upset, and people would call in and say, why are you getting upset about one game? No one did that after the Jets game. We've been on the air a week since then, almost, and I have not heard one call saying, don't worry about it, it's just one game. And that's the reason why. The perception's changed. A win against the Niners, which I don't think is impossible. I'm not betting on it, but I don't think it's impossible. Would be a huge, huge perception changer.
Yeah, in terms of the fans, I learned that in week one. When I did not take the beating I expected in the Six Rings postgame show, you know, Mr. 0-17, and they're 1-0 with a win in Cincinnati over the Bengals, overcoming a 7-point underdog status. And when people didn't clap back at me with really any energy, I was like, you people don't really trust this team.
Right.
You people think this team stinks too. You were kind of on board with it's a horrific football team. And I think that's the same thing you would see. You see coming off the Jets. I think they think they're trending to where they are.
Yeah.
Settling into where they are. But there's also the fact if you go to San Francisco, and I don't really care how it happens, that's a good win. For this team, for who you are. Other teams, it might not be. You go, oh, well, the 49ers are banged up.
Or big win for the Rams on Sunday. I mean, listen, this team, the Niners are 1-2.
And that would be the flip side of it.
Yeah.
You could argue, oh, you got that great win over the Bengals. They don't have any wins. They're a winless football team. Ooh, big win over the 49ers. They're 1-3, right, after you beat them. So there could be some of that, but I think that would be a good win for these Patriots. Now, a great win. I actually don't really care how it happens. I mean, barring, I guess, Purdy breaking his leg on the first play of the game and you going backup quarterback the whole rest of the way, it would be a good win. I don't want to hear about McCaffrey. I don't want to hear about Debo. I mean, they have a guy like Jennings who comes in and all of a sudden has like 20 catches with three touchdowns.
Like, he had like 180 yards or something in that game.
So like that's weeks of work for these Patriots wide receivers. So whatever, they're loaded talent-wise, they're loaded coaching-wise, loaded scheme-wise. If you go and you beat them, that would be a great win for this team. And it's a reason Patriots fans should sort of circle the wagons like the old Buffalo Bills Schwamm style, right?
Yep.
If you go 2-2 in a month where a lot of people thought you might not win any games, or in a season where some people thought you might win two all year, go 2-15, hey, ESPN, we're going to have the number one pick, or we're going to have the number three pick, and you're 2-2, you should absolutely circle the wagons, Patriot Nation. Now, in all likelihood,
the Niners were up 21-7 on the Rams, who are decimated. I mean, you talk about the Niners being hurt with injuries, the Rams were wiped out. And they were up 21-7 in the third quarter in that game. and lost. I mean, listen, they're 0-2 on the road. Like, they're as good as they are and as nice as their roster looks, and I think as much as we all sort of agree, when they're at full strength, if that ever happens this year, they're gonna be a very tough draw no matter what. Everybody's gonna be a tough draw for the Patriots, but you know, Kyren Williams had 2 touchdown runs against them. Like, that, they can be run on, and they were passed on as well by a Vikings team that so far is very good and a Rams team that desperately needed a win and finally got one against them.
Right. No, but it's also early. I am not right. willing to give up on the Bengals. I'm not willing to give up on the 49ers. I'm not willing to anoint the Seahawks and I'm not willing to give up on the Ravens. Right? The Ravens were very close to blowing another lead. The Ravens were very close True. To joining the conversation of the Bengals and, like, what the hell is going on in the AFC North, right? And they saved themselves a little bit by squeezing out a win there. But it's still September. It's still a 17-game season now. There is a lot of football to be played that I think will settle out. But that's why I would say, if you hang with the 49ers, if you're competitive with the 49ers, that is a sign of things to come. That means when you face the Dolphins, something came across my Twitter feed today, algorithm today, not mm-hmm. a source necessarily, but apparently in Dolphin world, there's fans, people sort of saying Mike McDonald should, McDaniel should lose his play calling duty.
Really?
And I'm like, holy, that fell apart quickly. Hmm. You know, he loses Tua, and all of a sudden people are ripping him and don't want him to call plays anymore. I thought he was one of the genius offensive coaches
He's
in the NFL.
He's not calling plays. What's he doing there?
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's his whole thing.
But my point is, that's what's on the horizon, a team that might have some dysfunction, or a Jags team that might have some dysfunction. And if you can hang with the 49ers, I don't know if I want to call it a moral victory, but it's a sign of your competitive nature, your bounce-back ability, and what could be good things to come on the horizon.
Yeah, certainly could be. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'm going and taking this if they win thing all the way to the bank here, because I don't think we're going to have much more of this. But if they win, if they do beat the Niners, or even if they just have a real tough competitive game against them,
yeah,
and that means more Jacoby Brissett, would you rather they get blown out?
Yeah.
You'd rather they get their ass kicked.
Sorry, Jacoby, mean it. But yes, I'd rather get their ass kicked. I'm ready. You know me. I was ready to start the year.
Are you rooting for a loss then? Because if they win, then that obviously means more Brissett, right?
Well, I can root for both.
You can root. You can't root for them to get their ass kicked and also win.
Your scenario.
He wants like a 3-0 win.
No. What if your scenario comes to fruition and it's 17-3 in the third quarter and the offense has done nothing, and there's enough time left to bring Drake May in the third quarter?
Yeah,
turn to him.
If they do bring him in,
and you get a 20-17 win. That's what I'm rooting for. Or 19-17. 2 touchdowns. 2 2-point conversions. Oh my God! What a comeback! The new era of Patriots football has begun. Drake May. But yes, I'm looking for
You know
for
what
Drake
I'm
May.
Talking about, though, right? Like, if they win a game and it's a rock fight and they win on defense and Brissett doesn't give you anything, but they end up winning like 10-6 or something like that, then that would mean more Brissett. You'd rather they lose than win like that.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm ready for Drake May. Plus,
Fitzy somewhere just drove off the road.
Probably. But I'm also, you know me, I'm kind of rooting for losses in general.
Yeah,
for
true.
The season total, for the ability to pick in the top 3 picks in the draft. Part of the Andy Hart master plan is having a really good draft pick in the first round and every round and being able to trade down and move around and Elliott Wolf, do your thing and rebuild this roster on the fly. If you win too many football, because if you win that game, now all of a sudden I'm probably thinking, well, you're probably going to beat the Jags and you might beat the Titans. You might steal one from the Bears. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I'm thinking this team could win 6 games and that draft pick just fizzled out a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, NFL Talk on WEEI is brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. You kind of, not that I think this is all very possible or even plausible. I'm not saying that I'm guaranteeing a win this weekend or anything like that, but I do feel like people are talking about this weekend like it's just a foregone conclusion that they're going to get smoked, that Brissett's going to get taken out, that May's going to be the quarterback week 5 against Miami. Like, that's generally what the narrative and the conversation is, not just here, but everywhere. I mean, I'm hearing everybody talking about it that way. And I think that's the most likely, but it's not a guarantee by any means, and this is the NFL, and I think that if, you know, Gerard Mayo and everybody there is just sort of waiting and planning for that, you can't make plans like that in the NFL. I just don't think you can, and especially with a Niners team that I think is vulnerable right now. I think that they're a vulnerable team. They're probably overlooking a team like the Patriots, even as banged up and, sort of slumping as they are right now. They're looking at the Patriots going, come on, like, we can beat these guys. This will be our get-right game, and I don't know. I don't know if they have the horses to necessarily run all over the Patriots.
And that's the psychological question. That is, do the injuries hurt the 49ers because they're not as good, which is what some people are banking on? We had one texter say, I put $20 on the Patriots to win outright. You got 10 days to prep for a banged up team. That's true. There's some truth to that. Or do the injuries kind of make the Niners more dangerous because it's less of a trap game? They know they don't have Christian McCaffrey. They don't know they don't have Deebo Samuel. They know Kittle and Purdy are banged up. Does that force them to take this game a little bit more seriously? And in doing so, does that allow their talent, their overall talent, their overall coaching and scheme to carry them to where they probably should be? We know how Vegas looks at it. It's a 10-point game. That's a big number. That's a big number.
Yeah, and that's them trying to get action, you know? I mean, that's them trying to get the most amount of bets. Like, I understand that. No one's betting on the Patriots right now after that loss. They look like a bottom-of-the-barrel team. And the Niners look like a team that's good but slumping and need a bounce-back game and a get-right game against a bad team, and that's what they're going to have, and they'll be able to just feast on the Patriots. And honestly, I can see why that's the perception. We're not stupid here. We can all sort of tell. I just think that it's still early enough in the season that there's still weird stuff going on, you know? Like,
sure.
This is when Vegas really thrives because there's so many upsets and so many, you know, close covers that you wouldn't expect. And I just think that there's a real possibility here for this Patriots team. They couldn't play much worse than they did against the Jets, right? Like, can we assume that that's, if not rock bottom, going to be close to rock bottom this year, what we saw against New York?
Well, that's a bigger picture question. Was that an aberrational performance,
season,
or are they a terrible football team that's poorly prepared and coached?
They played three games, and that was the only time I've thought that in the three games.
Yeah, but
was that one game
trended in that direction?
I suppose
the gotta have it, the nut cutting time in the Seahawks game. They failed in all three phases.
Right, but at least they had a nut cutting time in the Seahawks game, which they never did against the Jets.
Sure.
So yeah, they failed in that aspect, and it was a bad loss. But they were in a position to win. They played well enough to win. You know, they had a lead at the end of the game, like that. All
didn't
that
play
stuff.
Well enough to win.
You know what I mean? It was close, though.
My example would be the defense that's supposed to win games took over with the opponent on the 16-yard line. They drove right down the field.
Yep.
Like that is a. That alters the way you look at them, I feel like. Even the people that were the most ardent supporters of the Patriots coming in thought the defense was going to be the strength and the defense would flat out win them games.
Yep.
Well, there's an example where the defense lost you the game. Your punter did a really good job. He put you in position to maybe play field position and steal a game after you kind of gave it away.
Uh-huh.
I know that there was the blocked field goal. There's all that crap. And the defense couldn't do its job, couldn't get the plays it needed to make. So people that are telling me that the defense is going to flat out win games, you couldn't beat Geno Smith. He's not exactly Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
He's not exactly an elite quarterback. He's got good weapons.
Might be better than Brock Purdy, but yeah.
I think you're really dismissive of Brock Purdy.
I don't think Brock Purdy's very good.
I've noticed the words you've used to describe him in the first 25 minutes of this show have been dismissive and disrespectful.
I said I think he kind of sucks.
Yeah, you did. And I appreciate the honesty.
Why? What are you, Brock Purdy's dad? What do you care?
And I don't think he's great, but I also think at some point, you don't continue to luck into wins in the NFL, even with some talent around you. At some point, you're a good
Jimmy Garoppolo
part
took
of
that
it.
Team to the Super Bowl.
No, I know. Yeah. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo is not a terrible quarterback.
Mm. I think he kind of sucked. And I think Brock Purdy kind of sucks, too. And that's a good machine they got going there, and they could sub in different
quarterbacks. Boy, I wish the Patriots had a sucky quarterback that was that good.
I wish the Patriots had an offense. You put Brock Purdy on this Patriots team, they're not, I don't think, winning any more games.
That is true.
I think they're about the same as they would be with Brissette or anybody else.
But if you put Deebo and whatever,
right.
would
put an offense around him, then we got
would Jacoby Brissett
cooking.
Be winning games?
He might be 2-1, yeah.
Yeah.
Against the Seahawks, if you had those guys, I think you probably could be.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe could be.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with this conversation after we talk with Alex Cora, who joins us next. But first, Brian Frazoco is going to tell you which trend.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Quick programming note, Alex Cora will be joining us at 2:45. He's stuck on a bus again. I feel like that happens a lot with him. He gets stuck on the bus more than Sandra Bullock.
Are you doubting the validity of it?
No, I'm just saying.
He's saying he's dodging us?
It's happening a lot. So maybe it's a bus problem. Yeah. You know?
It's true.
You got so they're GPS, like, you can't avoid the traffic. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
So you'd fire their director of operations or whoever plans the buses?
Yeah, the same guy who gets Manny Ramirez the tickets.
Throw him out the bus.
Throw him out the bus. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, 2:45 is the new time we've been given, so we'll continue with your Patriots phone calls. What you just heard there was Gerard Mayo from this morning. Kyle Duggar is now going to replace Juwan Bentley as a captain for this team. Good pick, bad pick? What do you think there?
Good pick. I mean, he was a guy that I thought would have been a candidate early on, and if we take this as on the up and up, he said it was a close vote, so I'm assuming that means next in line was Duggar, and he wasn't that far behind. This is not like the Democrats just kicking one guy out and pulling somebody in who didn't get any votes. Go ahead, text line, get mad because I brought up politics. You know, he's a natural progression. Safety is a position. I don't really know why you'd need it necessarily. I found that a little weird.
Why, like, you need to replace the
Bentley's not dead, and I'm assuming he's the kind of guy that's going to hang around the team.
Right.
So he can still lead at the facilities, you know, still bring a certain, won't be on-field leadership, but you had the leaders that were already out there defensively. But no, it doesn't surprise me, and I think that's a good sign, especially if it is on the up and up and he got the next amount of votes. That's good. A guy you just gave a big contract to be a core player moving forward is captain material based on his teammates' votes.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I think Duggar's a good player, and it seems like he's a good locker room presence, and I don't know if he's, you know, great or anything like that, but we're talking about captains here on a team that's rebuilding. So, yeah, it's a promising thing that one of your younger players is...
Better options?
Is getting that. I don't know.
No, I mean, from your outs, not saying guys that actually should have gotten it, but from a...
Jones. John Jones. He's been on the team longer than Duggar has.
And he doesn't seem to want it when we asked him about
it. That's true, he doesn't, but if there was a vote, then
I was going more, in an ideal world, Christian Gonzalez.
Mm.
You know, one of those McCourty Mayo types that year two, his teammates elected him captain. He's a corner and he's the foundation of the team for the next few years. Or Keon White. Like, I think if you're looking forward, it would be nice if one of those young, budding star type players were in consideration for something like that. But, yep. I mean, Duggar absolutely deserves it.
I agree. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones here while we wait for Alex Cora. Paul is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Paul.
Listen, guys, I love the show always. You know that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel funny about this game. It's they're going out west to the 2,000 miles plus, whatever. But, you know, I have a funny hunch that it's either by one or by three that the Patriots are going to win this game. It's a non-conference game, and I think that the 49ers are going to turn it up on the second half. They don't really care about Seattle. They're just on a high right now. And you know what? To make it sure, guess what's going to happen to Jacoby? He's going to turn on this game because he's going to say,
hot.
Guess what? I am the original quarterback in this team.
Okay.
And the best part about it is this. Ben Pelt is in trouble if Jacoby doesn't win this game.
Okay, thanks for the call, Paul.
Excuse me?
It was like Tommy Curran interview with all the long
pauses. It was a little Tommy Curran pregnant pause like.
And the reason is.
Did we lose you? Hello?
Alex Van Pelt.
This thing on. Alex Van Pelt is in trouble if they don't win this game.
How does
that work? I mean, I'm not asking him because I know you.
It doesn't work in terms of actual logic, but I do think that there's a chance if they have another horrible offensive showing that eventually the scapegoats are going to start getting named, and he's going to be one of them. I think that's very, very possible. I don't think he's going to be like the main guy. Well, this is all because of Alex Van Pelt, and everyone's just going to ignore the offensive line and Brissett and the receivers and everything. But he's going to be one of those names that you look at and say, well, clearly this isn't working. This isn't a match.
Yeah, I think that's coming. Again, I don't know that the 49ers, their defense, the matchup with the defensive front versus this offensive line, I don't know if this is the week. And I think the first guy that's going to take the beating is the guy who's taking the beating, Jacoby Brissett. People are going to point to that. They've already started.
Mm-hmm.
It started, I want to say it started in the Seattle game, definitely picked up in the Jets game, where if you're just on Twitter, I've seen enough. I've lived the Jacoby Brissett experience. I don't want to live it anymore. Blah, 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 blah. I want Drake May. That has started social media-wise, and if you believe that's a sampling of fans, whether it's a vocal minority or not, that has started. Alex Van Pelt, if they lose at San Francisco as 10-point underdogs, Like, they're supposed to lose.
Yeah.
They were supposed to lose before the season started. This was not – Seattle was a winnable game. Remember that talk? Seattle week two.
I don't think they're going to say you lost this game because of Alex Van Pelt. I think it's going to be you're losing games and the offense isn't good enough and this is Alex Van Pelt's fault.
See, I don't.
Big picture.
I think
that
Elliot Wolf is going to
get it. That narrative will start, I think. Or I think, not necessarily that it's his fault, but he's not a good fit.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Elliot Wolf. I have been surprised at how much flack, rightfully so in my opinion, Elliot Wolf is taking because of the construction of the roster, most notably the offensive line and the lack of a left tackle. I think Alex Van Pelt is going to skate in part because of that.
Yeah, maybe. David is in the car. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. So,
afternoon.
Here's one thing that I don't hear a lot of talk about, and that is Drake May, the reason why they don't start him. Is it possible, which we know it is because it happens a lot in the NFL, that he just does not understand, he doesn't comprehend the difficulty of learning a playbook. And that's what they're protecting him because they don't want him to get exposed, that he just doesn't. You know, we had guys like Ocho Cinco when he came to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get the playbook.
Right.
You know, this is a lot of the receivers that Tom Brady could not connect with. It's not because Tom Brady couldn't connect with him. It's they didn't understand. And I think this is a problem with Drake May, but nobody's talking about it.
All right. Thanks for the call, David. Does Drake May, is that part of why they're not putting him in there? He doesn't get the playbook yet.
I don't know if it's get the playbook. I think there's a large mental chunk to it. I think it's more what defenses are going to throw at him. How do we adjust to those? Getting all your protections right, like getting us in and out of the right play, checking out of runs, kill, 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 all of that stuff, I think, is part of the discussion. The big difference, I would say, with Ocho Cinco was old dog, new tricks.
Right.
He had been in a system for whatever, a decade, where they said, hey, Ocho, run a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, or a 9. And then here they're like, well, where's the corner in regards to the safety and leverage on you? So this is what you do. And he was like, what? No. I run a go.
Right.
Or I run a corner or I run a slant. And that just, it wasn't a fit for him at that point in his career. Drake May is young, but do we think that Jaden Daniels has seen it all?
Do we think
Bo Nix has seen it all?
And I also don't think that Alex Van Pelt's running such a complicated offense that somebody can't figure it out or that they can't dumb it down enough for him to figure out how to go out there, hand off a little bit, maybe do a play action or two,
a boot,
and throw the ball downfield. I mean, it's not right. We're not splitting the atom here. And that's what Tom Brady and all these other people are saying. The offenses are all getting dumbed down for these young quarterbacks. You can do it. You can do it for everybody else. You can do it for Drake May.
And that's my theory as to why offenses are struggling and defenses are succeeding. Because offenses are dumbing down, defenses are staying the same, and it's like, why are they winning? Well, because you're dumbing down. You're not playing chess. You're on checkers, and they're still playing chess. But even this Patriots offense right now, with the offensive line and the way they've been, the offense hasn't been complex.
No.
Like, they do their wide zones.
They run this way, they run that way.
Then they run a boot and try to hit the tight end or somebody in the flat. They might have pop on an over. Like, there's not a lot of complexities to this passing game right now. So, yeah. Is Drake May young, inexperienced? Absolutely. Does that mean he can't play? No, we get back to any more so than the other guys? They started for 5 years. Sorry, he's got to wait 3 years. He's got to start somehow he has to start 3 more years without ever starting another game.
Right.
To get ready to start a game. That's the circular logic of those people.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Hopefully Alex Cora joins us next. Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkan, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline, sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. The Sherwin-Williams Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business, and also by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, who are still very much alive. Alex Cora joins us right now. After another tough bus incident, it sounds like. What happened on the bus this time, Alex?
No. I took an Uber, and he decided to take the highway, and there was construction, so I don't know. He tricked me into this one. It's
okay.
My fault.
All right, fair enough. It seems like there's been at least a couple of times now some problems with the commute. But either way, exciting win last night. You have a chance to sweep in Toronto here. You're still alive in the standings, albeit by a hair, really. Are you? How are you sort of going about preparing for these games now, knowing that you have to walk such a very thin line? You got to win all these games, obviously, and need some help from these other teams in the wild card race.
Yeah, obviously we put ourselves in a tough situation, and the only thing we can do is go out there and execute and play hard. You saw what happened yesterday. We use everybody at the same time, understanding that we have to take care of some certain guys in the bullpen. You know, we cannot just push the envelope and and hurt somebody, right, because of usage. So we've been pitching well for a while now. Offensively, it seems like since Sunday, we've been able to put the ball in play, take our walks. We're running a little bit more again, it's paying off. You know, yesterday was a fun one, to be honest with you, just to use everybody and double switching. And, you know, at the end, we had Valdi at third and Vaughn at second and Mickey at first, you know, and Roman left. But, one thing about the group, you know, they're fighting, understanding where we at, but we're having fun with it.
I know in the football world, sometimes in seasons that don't go great, they say, oh, you're putting something on tape for next year, or you're proving something to your coach for next year. Is there a part of your job right now is to just watch how guys handle the end of this season, handle themselves as professionals, and kind of put that in your memory bank for the future?
I mean, we owe it to the fans. We owe it to the organization, to the people that, you know, paid our bills, right? For them to play the way they're playing is good. You got to remember, there's a bunch of young kids here that this is the first time they get a taste of 162. And it's a long season. Your goals are your goals, right? I bet, you know, Sedan Rafaela was still 20. You know, there's certain guys, I don't know, RBIs-wise, where they at, but at the same time, understanding that winning is the most important thing, is a priority. They've done an outstanding job. The doubleheader against Minnesota, that was fun to watch. And then these two games in Tampa, Toronto, winning different ways, right? Yesterday we came back, the first game, we put the ball in play with men at third. We hustled down the line to beat out two double plays, and we were safe. They're showing something, and it's fun to watch them go about it. The preparation before games has been exactly the same as in July or April or May. So they're playing all the way to the end.
Does the way the season sort of came apart here in the second half, does that, I know you're obviously optimistic for the future, and it seems like the organization, forward-facing anyway, seems to be as well, but does the way that the season has kind of come to a halt here, does that temper any of that optimism?
It's frustrating, right? This is the third season in a row that we are, quote-unquote, in the hunt by the training deadline, and then we didn't play well. This one started earlier, right? It started right after the All-Star break. Those games in L.A. Kind of like put us in a bad spot, right? And there were a lot of games that we had the lead after the seventh, you know, multiple run leads, and we gave it up. And those games, it counts by one, but it puts your bullpen in a bad spot. The mood in the clubhouse is a little bit different, so... live and learn, right? Like I said, it is a young group that probably is going to get younger, right, with time. But it's a good learning experience, not only for them, but for us as a coaching staff to see how they react to certain situations, see what we can do in the offseason to put them in a better spot. And I truly believe that, you know, if this is, you know, the struggle, right, I think it's the last time we're going to struggle. We're going to be a force again sooner rather than later.
We've talked to you about the injuries and having to do a lot of different things in terms of personnel and lineup, but how much did you appreciate the fact that you have three starting pitchers that went out there 30 or more times, and actually with Pivetta, four guys with 25 or more starts? How much did that, at least on the pitching side, make your job easier?
Well, as you guys know, the narrative since Clay Buchholz, right, and then John Lester, is the Red Sox don't have homegrown starters.
Yep.
Well, now we have three. And they did an amazing job. If you look the season, right, don't only look the first half for Bayo or Crawford in the middle of the season and Tanner a little bit right after the All-Star break. If you see the whole body of work, pretty solid, man. It's been fun to watch the way they finish. You know, they pitched extremely well in September when it really matters, you know, when they're getting to a point here that they don't know, you know, what's starting at the big leagues. 22 games, 25 games, 28 games, and now 30. And all of them are healthy. They're doing an outstanding job, taking care of themselves, understanding what they need to do to maneuver a season. And the future is bright. You know, right now, we always have exit meetings, regardless of where you're at in the standings. And we talked to Tanner yesterday. We talked to Crawford today. And now, because they have those 30 starts under the belt, going into spring training next year, you know, they can be a little bit more vocal, right? What the expectations of the group is, you know, if there's a rookie that is out of line or doesn't look the part, right? He comes out of shape. They can actually go to them and ask for more. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very proud of the three of them.
It is going to be, as you said, you know, a team getting younger, and Kenley Jansen's a free agent. Nick Pivetta's a free agent. Who knows what's going to happen with them? But in the event that this is a team that does sort of grow younger next year, how important is it to maintain some semblance of veteran leadership? Because obviously that matters to you as the manager.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the upcoming weeks and obviously going into the off season. But one of the things that I really like is, you know, like Willie Abreu, he now understands what it's to play 162. Rafaela, the up and downs of the season. Trevor Story finishing strong, and obviously, you know, he's going to be part of this. Christian Casas, Connor Wong. So we have a good group of guys here. You know, obviously leadership in the clubhouse is very important. First things first, Rafi being healthy is going to help, right? And I think, you know, we'll see what the offseason has, you know, as far as like the players and what we want. But I feel pretty confident that at least with the guys that we have here playing a full season and, you know, having a taste of meaningful games in September is going to help them to lead the next group of great Red Sox players.
All right, it's time for our question of the week with the manager, sponsored by Sherwin-Williams. The Pro Plus program helps you manage and grow your paint business. This comes to us from Will in Brookline, who asks, Alex, what one game or one moment was your favorite this season?
Oh, yesterday was fun. That was cool. Romy Gonzalez, walk-off early in the season. When the Celtics weren't in at Fenway, you know, they celebrated with the trophy and all that, and the vibe was amazing. And Tanner Houck, complete game against Cleveland. That was another one.
Yeah, that Celtics game was big for Rob Bradford, too, because Derek White wore a Baseball Isn't Boring shirt, and he didn't shut up about it for like a month and a half. Yeah.
Well, a month and a half? He's still talking about it. Come on, bro.
Yeah, you know Brad Foe. Before we let you go, you bring up sort of remembering the season. Do you get sentimental as this last week winds down, knowing that even though you have a young team and a lot of these guys will be back, you know, the 2024 group will never be together again? Does the guy who loves baseball and loves these guys get sentimental?
I'm going to miss some of them, to be honest with you, but, you know, let's see what happens over the weekend. And if it doesn't work out, if we don't, there's not a miracle, whatever, obviously, you know, just to remember, and this is the way I'm going to take it to the off season. You know, like I truly believe this is the last time we're going to struggle. And, you know, I think from next year on, you know, we're going to be back to be fighting not only for a wild card, but I think for the division.
Well, I'm rooting for the miracle.
Be ready for the Titans. And be ready for the Titans. You know, my kids' team, that's the real challenge.
You there you go. Very good. Well, we're rooting for the miracle, not just because it's better for business here, obviously, but because we like talking with you, Alex. But in the sense that the miracle doesn't happen, it's been great all season. And thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Good luck with everything. Appreciate it.
Very good. Alex Cora joining us here on the program. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll switch gears a little bit in the 3 o'clock hour. We got some Celtics Media Day stuff, leftover stuff to talk about. We were on the air during Media Day, so we did get to talk with Terp, and we heard from Brad Stevens. We got a ton of quotes here from Jason Tatum, Kendrick Perkins, etc. We'll get to all of that next.